Sorry for the silence, but I don't know how to translate that silence. Anyway, so great to be in God's house with you, and it's great to have a standing room only crowd as always, and you guys are amazing, and we love you. God is moving in a powerful way. We will be celebrating 11 baptisms today. Yeah. God's good, man. He is moving in our midst, and your obedience to the Holy Spirit is making all the difference in the world. Just want you to know, I was having conversations with some pastors and some people of leadership, and what God's doing here is amazing. We're not an isolated case. God's moving in many, many places where Jesus Christ is being lifted up. People are responding to the gospel. The world is hungry for truth. All they hear is lies out there in the world. Lies from one political party, lies from another political party. Lies from everybody that's teaching in the educational public schools. Not everyone, but the stuff that's being taught, most of the time is messed up. They're looking for truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He is the answer, church. And we have such a great God who loves us. So I was talking to the pastors, telling them, like, you know, what's happened in our church? Because the last 2 years, we've had record attendance, record baptisms. You guys are just busting it out, you know, and it's amazing. And my wife and I are no different than we ever were. And I don't mean that in a bad way. We're growing. God's changing us. But I still preach the same way. We're still singing, like, the same type of worship songs. The only difference in what was happening 10 years ago versus today is you all. And you all being obedient to the Holy Spirit's conviction, movement, and leading in your life. Amen. And it's critical to everything. It's we have to continue to follow the Holy Spirit's lead in every way. Whatever He's doing, we're going to jump on board with Him. Amen. He will never contradict the Word of God, and He will never do anything that is opposite of what Jesus Christ taught. He is here to affirm the teachings of Jesus Christ. He is here to ignite us and empower us to live a life for Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. He's the only way. Yeah, He's amazing. I love the book of Romans. It's an amazing book, and I love the teaching that is found there. Let's look at this section of scripture right here. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. You probably should highlight that one and put it on the face of your computer, your iPad, your phone, and your refrigerator. All those places we visit frequently. This is a message from God, church. This is His Word speaking to us about who's in control of your life and mine. Is sin in control? It can't be. It was. If you know Jesus, it's no longer in control of you. God's Word says that. Listen to what it says. Do not let. In other words, my surrender. I'm going to either surrender to sin or I'm going to surrender to the Holy Spirit. But I will surrender. It's your choice who you surrender to. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. Brand new way of living. A brand new way of living. You're alive. The only way you are living is because of Jesus Christ breathing life back into our dead soul. There is a zombie apocalypse happening. There is. There's dead people everywhere. You meet them every day. Yes. They're lost and broken, and they need Jesus. And we have the answer to life. We have the remedy. God's given it to us, church. So what does He tell us? So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So this isn't just a spiritual thing. It's spiritual and physical. Some people think that their body is sinful and they can't stop their body from sinning, but their spirit is redeemed. And right here in the Word of God, it's like, hey, it's all together one. And the body needs to follow the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't follow the body. Prior to Jesus, the body led, the mind led, self led. Now the Holy Spirit leads, and He sanctifies us in mind, body, and soul. That's the way He created us, church, and He came to do a redeeming work over all of us, not just a part of us. Listen to what it says. Sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Yeah, there's a celebration moment. Woo, thank you, God. He's amazing. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? I want to hear more of you say that. Of course not. What are you doing? Come on. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? Remember, we are making a choice every day. We are surrendering to sin or to the Holy Spirit every day. It's our choice. So you want to be a slave to sin? Go ahead. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's what messed up your life. This is what it says. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So it's like it's not hard to choose sin. You can just let yourself go and you'll do it. Right? So it has to be an intentional choice to obey God, which leads to righteous living. There's a transformation that happens in every believer when we choose to follow God's way. God's word declares this truth. And if you've been around here for a little while, you might have heard these three words together. Surrender, trust,
and obey.
There you go. So the reason why those three words are mentioned all the time is because God's word teaches us this is the principle of a Christian life. I have to surrender. I have to. Verse 16 says this. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? So there's an aspect of my life where every day there is something I have to choose. I'm going to choose to do it God's way or Dave's way. Dave's way is the sin way. You're going to serve either sin or God. But it is our choice who it is we serve. This is why it's so critical that we understand the importance of following the Holy Spirit's lead in our life. Our daily life is a surrender to what God says. It's a trusting Him in the process, even when things don't make sense, and acting obedience to what He says to us. It can go against your thought and logic. Your thought and logic is what messed you up before. Trust God, not you. You are not trustworthy. I'm not trustworthy. We choose the wrong way naturally. Therefore, we have to choose the right way by the power of the Spirit and by surrendering to the Spirit, and then we step into what God says. So I choose to surrender, I choose to trust, and I choose to obey every day. I'm not saying I'm getting saved every day. Don't be ridiculous. What I'm saying is I'm going to live in my salvation, and the way to live in my salvation is to choose to do it God's way, to be obedient to what God says, to step into the life that He's called us into. I want to live in the victory He's provided, not in the bondage that I owned. Owned, past tense. There was an ED on the end of that, in case you didn't hear that. Okay? 2 Peter 1:3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So stop making excuses for your messed up life. Stop blaming others. Did they have an impact on your life? Yeah. Okay, everyone in this room has had someone in their life that messed them up. Everybody. Nobody hasn't. All right? Stop calling yourself the victim and looking at the problem as it's the problem. Understand that you can choose life and get away from the death that owned you. God has given us everything we need. All right? All right. Let's see what 2 Peter tells us right here. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So here's the thing. It says the transformation happens as we reprogram our minds. So what we need to do is have a override, a rewrite, an update. You know how if you have an iPhone, I don't know about the other ones, the Androids, they probably have the same problem. But they're constantly sending you updates. Why? Because things are messed up and there's bugs that get involved and everything gets jacked up and nothing works right. And so they're like, you need another update. You need another update. You need another update. Okay, hey, church, every day you need an update from the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You do. If you're waiting for Sunday to get an update, I'm just telling you, you're not moving. You're locked up and not functional. Come on. This is what it says. Listen, Romans 8 says this. This is why I love Romans. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. I'm pausing here in this verse. We're going to keep reading. And I know this is a revelation to you guys that I'm going to pause in the middle of something. But anyway, I do it all the time if this is your first Sunday, so just get ready. All right, so here's the deal. It's important that we clarify something that the Word of God is telling us here. Because what it says right there is, you know, when this goes on in your mind, you're thinking about sinful things. So it's dominating, and you think about it. That means you're dwelling on that sinful stuff. It doesn't mean that a random thought hits your mind and now you're contaminated and sinful. That's called temptation. And Jesus had to deal with temptation. And it tells us that he was tempted in every way like you and I, yet without sin. Oh, well then how does that work? It's easy. When the bombardment comes, you don't think on it. You don't dwell on it. You don't engage it. You dismiss it. You push it aside. And then you think about godly things, spiritual things. You praise God. You walk with God. You pray in that moment. You don't think on sin. Trust me, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you when your mind begins to dwell on that sin. God's word says so. Therefore, you have that moment right there to choose to step and become a slave of sin or a child of righteousness. It's right there. That's the key to living in the redemption of Christ. It's that easy. You say, well, it's not easy. Yeah, it is. It is easy because Jesus said it. I believe that this lady right here next to me read the verse. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for it is what? Easy. And the burden is light. Oh, well, you know when it gets hard? Is when I disconnect from Jesus. And then I do it. Failure. That's what it's talking about right here, right? So church, we stay yoked up. That's the yoke, you know, that goes over the neck. And here's Jesus right here. We're letting him lead. We're going to let him do it. Okay, so we need to keep reading the scriptures here. I won't stop because I don't want to have to repent of lying. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Yeah, that's a woo. It's telling us flat out, right? You either got it and you're living it, or you don't got it and you're not living it. Yeah. That's your easy translation. You're welcome. So, like, step in, man. So, remember we read it in Romans 6 when it says this, don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? So we choose to reject those sinful, wrong, broken thoughts, and we choose to accept the promises of God and act in obedience accordingly. That's living in victory. That's what we've been provided through Jesus Christ. We've read this passage last week as well, right? So Philippians 4. I'm sure you were probably wondering if we'd ever speak about this. Here you go, Philippians 4:8. Ready? Let's look at this. How about if you read it with me? We're not going to go slow because I like to make her get a workout. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So fix your thoughts. The transformation of your mind. If your mind isn't getting transformed, you're in trouble. That's why you got to be careful what you put in there. So we see this challenge of fixing our mind on the right, disconnecting from the wrong. So we don't dwell on the negative, sinful, dark, perverted, or worldly thoughts. It's constantly coming at you. You know that, right? I mean, come on. You know it's constantly coming at us. It even comes at you when you're at church. Isn't that crazy? The enemy's a liar. He is such a scumbag, and he's like, he's present. He never misses church. So, with this idea in our minds of God talking to us, he's saying, like, you know, you can either go on that dark road if you want to, or you can choose the road I've provided for you. It's a choice. Remember? You become a slave to whatever you choose to obey. There are going to be things that happen to us or that we go through in life that are difficult and painful. It's going to happen. It does happen. It is happening. So we're not talking about ignoring hard things. God's not saying, oh, just act like everything's fine and don't worry about it. He didn't say that to us. What he's telling us is to fix our thoughts on the things of God and don't allow those things to rob you of the joy and the peace he provides, because God's joy and peace are there regardless of what you face. No matter what, church, it's there. In Romans 12, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's a key. So this transformation of the heart has to flood the mind and begin to change the way I view things. Tells us something really important right here. When we have our mind transformed and we become this new person by allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of us, it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So the reality is, if Jesus doesn't return, and I'm not a believer in a pre-tribulation rapture, I'm not. I've read the book of Revelation. I'm just telling you, I hope there is one. I hope I'm wrong. And I'm saying, like, Lord Jesus, come quickly and beam me up before any of that stuff unfolds, right? You know, I'm all for it. But the truth of the matter is, I don't see it. I was taught it as a kid, but let's look at the Bible and see what it says, because we're always looking for the easy way out. We're always looking for the easy way out. But if there is not a rapture, that means you and I are going to face death. Death's not our friend. It's the punishment for sin that we brought into the world. And now Jesus said, I'm going to meet you there. You're not going through anything alone. And we step into eternal glory when we know him. But the fact of the matter is, we're still facing death. And I'm going to tell you that when you do, you're not going to be like, woo, yeah, let's do this. You know what I mean? No. The thing, what I'm saying is that our body was created by God to live forever. He made us eternal. We introduced sin in the world. We introduced death into the world. We introduced the time clock for our life. And therefore, when that moment comes, everything about me pushes and rejects against that because I was made eternal. And God's so good that even in that moment, he says, I'll be there. You're not going through it alone. The difference between a believer's death and a non-believer's is monumental. I've been with both, and I've watched them leave. Church, you don't want to leave this life without Jesus. You don't want to leave this life without Jesus. So we look at this, and it's like God's saying, let's begin to work on this, the way you process things, the way you look at stuff, the way you hang on to things, the way you're viewing your future, because the past is done. We ask God to forgive us. We remember our past. We don't live in our past, but we do remember. Now what I do is I'm going to say, God, I already know how I got there. I know how I got here. Thank you, Jesus. I want to live in the future of what you have for me. In the fullness of your grace, transform me, change me. God, whatever you want, whatever you want to do, whatever I need to surrender, I want to do it. Like, church, I hope that as a believer, you come into church today desiring the Holy Spirit to convict you. You know what I mean? Like, if there's anything messed up in me, I want him to show me. I mean, he's not going to show it all to us because we'd all be like up here depressed. I'm saying, you know what I mean? But I'm saying he's going to show us something that he wants to change and transform in us because he loves us. And he's calling us in this incredible journey of transformation. Let's act on the promises and challenges of God's word and put them into practice, church, because what it tells us in James, don't just listen to God's word. You have to do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Like, you know, just because you're like, woo, God's amazing, amen, yeah, 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 and you go out there and you don't live it, you're not fooling God. He knows you, right? This church isn't a game. It's not something that we just show up and get some God points for the week. You know, you're not like prepaying for sin this week. You're not, okay? Does he know you're here? Yeah, this is what it says in the next. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself walk away, forget what you look like. Okay? So when I look at that, I always think about this, and I hope you do as well. You know, like, we want to present ourselves right. So I hope you're, like, look in the mirror before you come in here. You know, and maybe fix your hair and, you know, fix yourself. That's all I'm saying. All right? But once you walk away, you think you still look like that. But if you walk out and it's raining or the wind's blowing, you don't look like that anymore. Right? You don't. But if there's no way to look at yourself, you're just going to look like you look. Okay. So, what God's helping us with today, he's like, look, I see you like you really are. Not the way you present yourself or fix yourself. He's like, I see you. And therefore, he's saying, don't try and deceive yourself because I see the true you. Don't forget who I am. So do you remember what you promised God you would do last week? Like the action steps that he's like, ooh, you need this. And it's like, I need that. And then by Wednesday, you're like, I don't remember what I needed, but it's probably something. And I'm just telling you that by Friday, you need a plastic surgeon for your spiritual life if you are not living with God daily in surrender and trusting and obeying. You are ugly by Friday. Yes, well, so anyway, we should move on. Like, this is why it's so important for you and I to spend that time in our spiritual disciplines, because God's going to give us a true reflection every day, right? So he's about the makeover. He wants to give us a spiritual makeover and not just on Sunday. All right, so let's read another verse, because if I don't, we're never going to get to baptisms. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. I mean, stop being dumb. That's what he's telling us right there, right? Stop being dumb. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. In other words, stop reacting. When we just simply react, trust me, most of the time it's wrong. Today you've been given another opportunity in these evil days to change things. What are you going to do with it? Can you call up the kids and the youth and tell them, come on up, it's time? So this moment that God's brought to you and I, we have this opportunity, and He always provides opportunity, always. He always provides opportunity for change, transformation, renewal. And He knows right where you are. He knows where I am. And so this is the moment where we've been praying, expecting, coming to church, like, for God to do something. You know, you might have thought it was for someone else. It was for you. He'll take care of the someone else. But it's you that He wants to deal with. And it's in this moment that we have that opportunity to be dealt with. Normally we have an altar call for people, but today, because we have the baptisms and the kids are going to be coming in and filling the front, we're not going to have an altar call. We're going to have a stand to your feet call. So, like, don't stand up yet. I mean, unless you already know, like, I need Jesus now, then go ahead, stand up. You need Jesus now. You do. You don't want to go without it. You don't. Okay? All right. Thank you. You can get up. You don't have to sit down. That's not that. I mean, it is that fast if you're actually saying yes to Him. He'll do it right then. I've learned something, church. The only prayer Jesus answers immediately is the prayer of repentance. He answers that immediately. The other ones, it may not be that fast, but this one He does. So I'm asking you, have you repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you done that?
Yes.
Man, there's only four people saved in here. We're going to have a lot of baptisms next time. I guess I'll ask that again. Have you repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior?
Yes.
Amen. It's important, church. It's the only way. It's the only way. If you have it, it's today. Today is the day that God is calling you into a relationship with Him. There's going to be a lot of religious people that go to hell. A lot. Jesus said so. There's going to be people that have done miracles and prophesied in His name, cast out demons in His name, and they're going to hell. There's a reason. Because you can't just do things in Jesus' name. You have to know Jesus and have a relationship with Him. He died to have a relationship with us. And so that call is to begin that relationship. If you don't have it, you need to stand up today and say, Lord, here I am, and I want that relationship. I need you. The second action step is this. Are you engaging in a spiritual walk with the Holy Spirit daily, or are you still just a Sunday Christian? So, you know, we ask the accountability questions at the beginning of the service. Have you read your Bible at least 5 days, 5 minutes a day last week, right? We ask that. Like, the reason we asked that question and started asking that question, I think back in 2009, was to help people, because a lot of people in church don't read the Bible, understanding, like, this is a daily commitment. A walk with God is a walk with God. And therefore, you need to do a walk with God. You need to be in walk with God. So if you're a believer that's been saying yes to Jesus for a while, we shouldn't ask you if it's been 5 days. It should be a part of your life. 7 days a week that you are with God in the Bible. You're with Him in prayer. You're engaging Him. You're listening to Him. You're walking with Him. That's what it means. If you're just checking a box, that's called being religious. If you want a true relationship with God, you step into a relationship. If I only spoke to my wife 5 days out of the week, we might have a problem in our relationship, right? I mean, come on. You can ask her. She's right in the cafe serving. Just say, hey, did you talk to Dave more than 5 days this week? Did he tell you he loves you more than once a day for the last week? No, it's called a relationship. It's intentional. God wants to change us, church. He wants to be with us. Isn't that crazy? The Creator of the universe wants to be with you, and He wants to be with me, and that He knows me. It's mind-blowing. We're almost at 9 billion people on this planet, and God knows my name. I drive by thousands of people a day that never even know my name and never will. But the creator of the universe is like, that's my boy Dave. That blows my mind. That's crazy, man. It's so beautiful. If you don't have that kind of walk with him, you can have it. Yeah, every day. A life of transformation. So, kids are coming in. They're going to come right down this aisle, down over here, guys. Today's going to be a real different service. I just want you to know that. I want to pray for those of you that are standing and in response to the action steps. But the kids can come on up. I want you to come right over here. Those that are being baptized can go to your seats over here where we had you set up. Everybody else over here, and let's do this. Father, we love you. Pray for every person that is here, not only in this room, but at the Village of Oak Creek, those at the Gospel Rescue Mission, those that are at home or at work or wherever they are. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking into our heart. Thank you for conviction. Thank you for the transformation, God, that you've made possible for our life, that we can have a relationship with you. You are such an amazing God. We're humbled, Lord, that you would ever love us. Thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.